Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I
mercy endureth forever.
the prophet Jeremiah recalled to mind. He remembered his affliction, the wormwood and the gall. This one thing he recalled to mind, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we seek. We are certainly a breath. We are certainly happy. We're certainly glad that it's of God's mercy, his compassions, his love for us. It's not because we have been so good and that everything has been done properly, but it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. Truly, we thank God for another day, another worship experience, another day to come back and talk about the mysteries of God's Word. We are so grateful for this end time studies and the things that God would have us to know. The things that he has written in his word is for our admonition. The fact that God has made it available to us shows that he wants us to know the secret things he kept to himself. But the things that he desires us to know, he's made it known to us in his word, in these 66 books called the Bible. So we thank God for the word. We know that God's word is true, and it shall come to pass. God is not mocked like a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath not he said it, shall he not make it good, saith the Lord. A sure foundation. The Bible has been on record, and it is very accurate. The very things that God has told us in his word have come to pass, and surely, if there was anything missing or added, the whole world would come to an end. So we thank God. Today's message is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start there, and we'll continue talking about Daniel's 70th week. Amen. So we thank God for this word. Daniel 70th week. Let's start now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Amen. We thank God for this word. Go to the altar. Let's go to the throne of grace, that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father, we come before your throne with a bowed down head and lifted up hands and a lifted up heart. Lord God, we lift our hands as a sign of surrender, recognizing, God, that thou hast all power, all authority, all the glory and all the honor. So we lift our hands as a sign of surrender. Father, we worship you in the beauty of holiness. Now we ask, God, for a spirit that's worthy to come into your very presence, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you wash us in your blood, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We call on the greatest teacher, that is, the Holy Ghost. And we ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. Father, we just ask that the Holy Ghost would speak boldly concerning the mysteries of your word. Bless us now, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept. We ask that you would send your word with power and conviction in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Do it now, Lord. Do it for your name's sake. Father, we ask that you would bless families everywhere. We ask that this word would penetrate the hearts of men. Oh, God, we bless you now for these and all things. We give your name praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God and amen. But of the time and season, brother, when you had no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfect, that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We're living in this time now that's called the end time, time that we're living in. In fact, the Bible tells us to redeem. When you see certain things, it tells us to redeem the time. If it's any time now to draw near to God, the time is now. These are the times that we begin to gird up the loins of our minds, that we pick up the pieces of our lives and set our house in order, set things in place and get a mindset, get an attitude, get to that, in that place, a safe place where called the rapture zone, in that place. And prayer, fasting, and consecration. One of the things that Jesus talked about was, he said, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Pray that you be counted worthy to escape. These times that we're living in, this end time is a time of prayer and consecration, supplication unto the Lord. These are times when we, if it's any time now that we should be looking to God and looking up, looking to the hills, is this time now that we're living in. This Paul called it careless times, is what Paul, the Apostle Paul called it. This Jesus called it the end time. So we look for his soon coming, his soon appearing in the clouds. Go and find the old pathway. It's what the word in Jeremiah chapter 6, I believe verse 19, finding the old pathway. People in this world, we have forsaken our first love, and going after so many other things in this world. But it's time now to forsake all of that. Purify ourselves. Consecrate ourselves. Holiness is right. Holiness is right. I don't care who doesn't do it, but holiness is right. Our conduct. The conversation in heaven is holy. Holy. Holy is the Lamb of God. Holy. The angels cry holy. We, only the righteous, shall see him. Amen. So we cry, holy is the Lamb. This last day, this end time, God is calling for the church, calling for his bride. The fact that the times and the days are evil. God is calling for his bride. It's time to get into that press mode, pressing our way toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Time and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, no. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know, God, you know, he gives, nobody knows the day nor the hour. You know, the Bible says this. Nobody can know the day. Only God himself knows. But the season, brother, we can know the season. In fact, Matthew 24, talking about the fig tree parable. When you see the fig tree shed forth tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. The generation that saw Israel became a nation, which was May the 12th, 1948, would see it all fulfilled. See what fulfilled? A sign of his coming and the end of this age. Jesus privately went up onto the Mount of Olives, and as he sat there privately, the disciples came unto him and asked for a sign of his coming and an end of the age. And Jesus began to lay it all out for them. Keep in mind, brethren, one of the first things that he said to them is to take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. The first thing that he talks about is a deception. First Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about the great falling away from the faith. You know, the great falling away. And except there be a falling away first, the Bible let us know that the end cannot come. So we've got to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. I heard it said that God is the only person that could fire you, keep working. Isn't that something? Many people have lost their way. And they think right now that they're okay. But reality, they have lost their way. So we have to go back to the old landmarks, the old pathway, back to the old way. Holiness is right. Holiness is right. Be holy, the Lord God says. For I, the Lord God, am holy. Follow peace with all men. Holiness without no man shall see God. So let us continue to fight this good fight of faith, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. He who has begun a good work in you, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to complete it. So let us continue to pick up the blood-stained banner and say that it's thine world that Jesus saved to the utmost. You know, Jesus saves. The time and the season, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them and to veil as a woman with child. Tonight we want to talk from the subject Daniel's 70th week. let's look at what happens here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Let's pick up something there. Daniel's 70th week. Of all the prophets that Jesus could have talked about concerning the end time, why would he talk about Daniel's 70th week? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that gave suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Amen. Amen. And amen. Why would Jesus talk about the abomination, desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet? Why would Jesus say this? The Jews, God's chosen people, are looking for their Messiah. Amen. When the church is raptured, the man of sin is revealed. Many God would turn over to a strong delusion that they might believe the lie. The Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, of course, we know that the one world order is already in place to put the man of sin in power. When the church is raptured, he will become the leader of what is called the one world order, the one world banking system, one world religion, and the one world government. The Antichrist will take his position as the leader of the one world order. The Jews are looking for a Messiah. When Jesus came doing miracles, healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, you know, his message was incorrect, or in their mind, the Jews were looking for a Messiah like David that would lead them in battle, would fight against the Roman Empire. But Jesus' message at that day and time was love and peace, kindness, you know, turning the other cheek. So they refused to receive him as a Messiah. Little that they know, Jesus was made Lord, Lord of lords, and King of kings. When he got up on the third day morning, God gave all authority to his son. You know, God gave the world Jesus as a sin offering. Jesus didn't come here to be Lord and be King. He came here to die for the sins of the world as a ransom for our redemption. Jesus came 33 and a half years. He lived here as a man. He went to Calvary, stretched himself out. He was made sin for us. He defeated, once he died, he went into hell for 3 days, preached a three-night revival. On the third day morning, he arose from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. God gave him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Jews didn't receive him as Messiah and Savior. And because of this, you know, they're looking for a Messiah. When the Antichrist appears on the scene, then he will be deceived by this man of lawlessness with blasphemy in his mouth, declaring himself to be king and Lord. Will be deceived. In fact, God turns them over to a strong delusion. You know, all the false miracles, the false prophets. You know, and one of the things that the Jews do to have peace in this time period, they enter into a treaty with the Antichrist. The treaty is signed for 7 years. The Bible let us know that in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, the Antichrist desecrates, you know, make oblation, you know, he desecrates and he breaks the treaty. And at this time, Jesus talks about Daniel the prophet. You know, Daniel the prophet. When you see the let's look at it again, verse 15, Matthew 24. When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, it says, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Petra is a stone city. God has prepared a place for the man child, the son called woman, for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, God will cover her in wilderness, where she's told to flee into the wilderness, a place of hiding, a place of keeping. And then the suncloth woman, Revelation, I believe, chapter 14, you know, this place called Petra, where God has already set aside for her keeping, the man-child. And one of the things he says here is, and let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that giveth suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. Amen. The treaty is broken after 3.5 years. The Antichrist breaks the treaty with Israel. The abomination, desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9, and we can pick it up there. Verse 24, Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to furnish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Amen. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, 80 days, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even the troublesome time. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause sacrifices and oblations to cease, and for a overspread of abomination he shall make it desolate, and until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The treaty is signed. The treaty is signed so that there would be peace in Jerusalem. Even now, as we talk, there's so much unrest in the Middle East between the Arab and the Jews and their fight over land, territory. So the Antichrist offers a solution to the unrest and to the violence. He signs a treaty for 7 years, and he is honored. The Bible says when there is peace and safety, when there was peace and safety, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, when there was peace and safety, then sudden destruction came upon them and travail as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, they signed a treaty for peace and safety. And then all of a sudden, destruction broke out. Destruction broke out. The false prophet, the little horn, the lawless one, son of perdition. These are names given to the Antichrist, the seed of Satan. Understand, we're living in the end time. These are dangerous times that we're living in. When the church, he who now will let, and when he is taken out of the way, then the Antichrist can be revealed. When the church is raptured, this man of sin is put in position as the leader of the one world order. Again, a treaty is signed with Israel for 7 years. The abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Of course, God has a place prepared for the man child of the sun-cloth woman with 12 stars under her feet. I mean, Israel, representing Israel, you know, the place called Petra. We're talking about a situation where there's war, there's famine, and there's death, You know, it's just people are looking for a way out. Not only that, they are forced to take what is called the mark of the beast. You know, in order to buy and sell, you must have a mark or bow down to the image of the beast. You know, of course, you know, this many will be killed with the sword. These are called the martyred saints. These are the people that John saw in the middle of the week that came up after the sixth seal was opened. John saw a number in heaven that no man could number that came out of the great tribulation. Keep in mind, there's a lot going on in the world. The killing of the saints, you know, these people, these religious people that are left here. Of course, the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ, God doesn't suffer her to go through the tribulation. So the church is raptured. This religious society that we have today, pull on this world today, that don't take the word of God, you know, seriously. You know, as I'm talking here now, you know, most people have their own ideas about what and how to conduct themselves. You know, we've lost the fear of God. God has warned us. He has warned us through his word and through his prophets, through his preachers, that this time would come. And now that this time is upon us, you know, what are we going to do as a people? We know that God is merciful and kind, but of course, you know, some say, does God bring this kind of judgment on people? Does God cause these kind of situations to happen? Does he? You know, we as a people have to take warning and take things to heart as opposed to ignoring the things that are already purposed in this world. Is it going to change anything because we don't believe, because we don't take it serious? It's not going to change anything. The Bible said it's going to be a rapture and Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride, for his church. There's going to be a rapture. Whether or not we are ready to go back, or whether or not we are caught in sin, you know, pray, he says. Pray without ceasing. Pray that we be counted worthy. The Bible tells us to watch as well as pray, that we be counted worthy to escape this thing called the rapture, called the tribulation. You know, the Bible tells us to pray that we might be counted worthy to escape. Consecration, prayer, and concentration. You know, one thing about it is the church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, sanctified, set apart, adorning herself in white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. You know, God is calling for his bride. You know, if you love him, if you really love the Lord, none of this is too hard. You know, to have relationship, to be in relationship, to serve him with your whole heart. We can't let anything come between you and your relationship with God. We can't let anything or anybody, any situation between you. God has got to be first. He's got to be first. We've got to put him on the throne of our lives. We've got to worship him. The Bible says God is looking for true worshipers. that would worship him in spirit as well as in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The things that tempt us, things that tempt us, you know, we have got to gain control of our lives, you know, casting down every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, you know, looking to him, listening to his voice, serving him, being faithful over the assignment. Amen. We are his workmanship, created, the Bible let us know, into good works, which he had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So we look to Jesus, the author and the furniture of our faith. Amen. It is he that hath begun a good work in you. Do all things without murmuring and dispute, that you might be blameless, sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they might glorify God. Amen. So we thank God. It is no more I, but it's him that worked to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's no more about, it's no, it has never been about you, and it's certainly not about you. It's never been about you. It's always been about God and what he's desired, what he's purpose, what he desires for your life. Again, it's no more I, but it's him that work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasures, brothers and sisters. This is a surrendering walk. The love of the world, you can't love the world and love God, for the love of the Father is not in you. All that love the world is the lust of the eye, to the flesh and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. Be not deceived, brothers and sisters. We have to live in the world, but not be of the world. You know, these modern day saints, modern day Christians, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So let us draw near to God with our whole heart. Time to forsake the things of this life and to look to God, our Father, our Creator, and our God. Time to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. If you love him, the love of God constrains us that we should to ourselves, but rather unto him who died for us, gave his life so that we would have a right to the tree of life. I love them that love me. Them that seek me shall find me. So we love him. There's no other way. The only way you can serve him is because you love him. Hallelujah. You love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You love him. To love him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. So we thank God for the love. We thank God for the love. Amen. For greater is he that is in you, brothers and sisters, than he that is in the world. Forsaking all to follow Christ, giving up the things of this world, giving up this world, and focusing on life He's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Daniel's 70th week, the Messiah was cut off at the 69th week. 70 weeks were determined upon the people to make an end of sin and to put in place the Messiah, to anoint the Holy One. So we thank God that His word is true. It will not fail, brothers and sisters. It shall come to pass, you know, the time and the seasons. Can't you see the handwritings on the wall? Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see the sign of the time that we're living in? The times are evil. The condition of man's heart has failed him. He has no fear for God. You know, we live in a society that has simply forgotten about God. So they have simply just came to the conclusion that there is no God. So they do whatever they want to do. They make themselves gods. So this is the world that we live in. Unthankful, unholy, truth-breakers, proud, boisterous, blasphemers, ego, flesh rules the throne of their lives. We're living in that time, brothers and sisters. This is a time that we're living in. The church is raptured. The man of sin is revealed. Treaty is signed for 7 years. And in the middle of the week, oblations, desecration, he desecrates the temple. Oblations, sacrifices, and everything cease. When this happened, Jesus tells them to flee. You know, to leave Jerusalem and flee. And of course, God has prepared a place called Petra, the stone city, to house the woman for 3.5 years. His only concern is that their flight be not in winter, that they be not with child or on the Sabbath. Amen. So we thank God for this word on tonight. The time and the season, brother, and you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them and travail as a woman with child. And they shall not escape. This tribulation time is going to be worse than anything that we have ever heard of or seen or known. Mass destruction, war, devastation, imprisonment, murder, and people being killed. You know, it's going to be a time like it's never been before. And then Jesus talks a little bit further as we go into Matthew 24. We'll talk about it next week. We're talking about a time that Jesus called the Great Tribulation after the middle of the week. He said it'd be a time like it has never been before. You know, the Great Tribulation. We'll talk about that next week. You know, the Bible can only warn us. And whether or not we take heed to the warning, it's up to us. Lot had a problem like this when God sent a hail and brimstone and destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I understood the city was God was so angry that the city was totally decimated and couldn't be found anymore. But you see the signs of the judgment. The signs of the judgment. Can't you see them? So we thank God for this worship experience on today. We thank you for what God has shared with us on at this time. Is there any questions about anything that we've discussed? Daniel 70th week. There being no questions, we're going to pray. And we're going to thank God for this time that we had on tonight. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask that there be an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. That somebody somewhere would hear this word and be quickened in their spirit, hearing the truth, being ordained to believe and know the truth. Let this truth change them. Let this truth be the factor that saved them alive, that helped them to make it in this world and certainly in the world to come. Father, we ask that you quicken somebody's spirit to hear this word and let it be a deciding and a turning place or turning point where they cry out, "I yield. I yield. I can't hold out any longer." Father, we ask that you would use this service tonight. Use it for your glory. Lord, for your glory. Speak, Lord. Somebody desire to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, we know that you can do all things. That nothing is impossible with God to them that believe. We ask you, God, to use this now for your glory. Let your word be revealed in the hearts of sinful man. Let the word speak to them, Lord, and reveal what thus saith the Lord to this lost and dying world. Lord, I just say, have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We ask for a second chance. We ask, God, that you turn things around. That soul that is near hell, that is standing at the gates and about to fall into a place of desecration, we ask that you turn it around, God. Turn that soul around. Fix it, Lord. Do it now. Get the victory over the works of the dead works of the enemy. Curse it, I rebuke it. Send it back to the pits of hell, Lord. Be it children, be it friend, be it relative, be it whomever, white, black, Chinese, whatever the case may be, Lord. But use it for your glory. This service. I will bless your name, and your praises shall continually be upon my mouth. Do it now, Lord, for your name's sake. Do it, Lord. I will forever praise you and glorify you and magnify you and bless your holy and righteous name forever. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. We thank God, and amen.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't. I just don't know, but I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. It's dark and dreary. I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong, 'cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is. It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Lord.
God planted His love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
Lord.
Listen.
Lord.
Now, I've been singing for a long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart.
Got it down in my heart. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Father,
Father, I just want you to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know it's down in my heart the reason I'm here tonight. Because it's in my heart, and I want you to know, I want you to know, Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there and had planted it in my heart. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all, but I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, well, wait a minute, I'm not through yet. Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. Come on. You got it?
In my heart.
Oh, yeah.
In my heart.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
And you know, Melvin,
my heart.
You know what?
In my heart.
Somebody asked me just the other day.
In my heart.
The heart. How can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you? I told him, the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, heart, how can you leave your family?
Look out, look out, look out.
And go sing all the time. I told him, I love my family.
Oh, yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I'm doing
it,
there's a reason I'm doing it,
there's a reason you're doing it.
Because it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yeah.
I got to love my friends.
And
whenever you see me, I'll be.